Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Sadi Dalad. We are on Sadi Gimel Amud Beis. We are here in the ninth parak of Erevin, discussing various aspects of both Hilchos Erevin and Chumash Shabbos, but mostly a Hilchos Erevin. And yesterday we had a debate amongst the Amoraim on Sadi Gimel. On the Sadi Gimel Amud Beis, on top of the Amud, Machlokes between Rav Chista Maremar, whether or not we can make a composite wall made up of both of an elevation and also of actual wall itself. Is there such a thing as a composite wall? So interestingly, Rav Chista says no. In other words, a wall has to be either all elevation or all mechitza, but you cannot make a composite wall. And Maremar ended up disagreeing with Rav Chista, and the Gemara concluded, like the halacha, like Maremar, that you can in fact make a composite wall. With that stated, we're going to continue right where we left off yesterday by Rav Oshia. The Gemara is going to continue a discussion regarding the statuses of a wall separating two chatzeres by Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia asked the following question: do you and Abayim b'Shabbos? So let's say you have residents that come in on Shabbos. New residents are introduced on Shabbos. So who's moving in on Shabbos? So obviously nobody. Nobody's moving in on Shabbos. Rashi over here writes, do you and Abayim b'Shabbos kigon? So Rashi says an example of the Gemara's discussion that we're about to have is kosel shebein shtei chatzeros. Let's have a wall between two chatzeres shenafal b'Shabbos. The wall fell on Shabbos. And so now, that means to say that prior to Shabbos, we didn't make a joint Erev. We couldn't make a joint Erev. There was a wall separating the two chatzeros, and there was no Pesach between the two. And now, lo and behold, on Shabbos, so the wall falls down. And so now, we have new residents here in our chatzer. Okay, now that there's a Pesach that allows access from one chatzer to another, so welcome to our, say hello to our new neighbors. And so now the question becomes as follows. Obviously, we didn't make an Erev going into Shabbos. We couldn't have made an Erev before Shabbos. And now that it's Shabbos, so what is going to be the status? And the Gemara's assumption over here is that prior to Shabbos, each of the chatzeros, independent of the other, made their own Erev. But now, of course, with the wall down, so the question becomes, what becomes the status of our ability to carry from our homes into our chatzer? So, the Yoreh Nabayim B'Shabbos Ma'o She'asur, Am Rav Chista Tashmas, Rav Chista says, okay, I think I know the answer based on our Mishnah. I say our Mishnah, I'm going back to the Mishnah, the last Mishnah that we saw, on Sadi Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah over there writes that I have a large rooftop going into a small rooftop, I have a large chatzer, She'nifritza L'Katana. Now, what happened is that we don't know what happened, meaning we know the circumstance in that it's a large chatzer open to into a small chatzer. When did that opening occur? Right now, the Gemara is going to think that the opening occurred first on Shabbos. So, chatzer gadol shenifritza l'katana gadola mutars v'katana asur mimneshi kipis kosho gadola. Good, so that's our Mishnah. And Amar Rabba, Amar mi ba'od yom nifritza. So, Rabba says that Mishnah is no proof because you assume that the Mishnah is talking about where the pierce comes on Shabbos itself. No, that's not the case. The case could simply be that the opening occurred before Shabbos. Amalei Abayi lo tem amar ema elavadai mi ba'od yom nifritza. And Rabba says, Abayi says, we could say it stronger. We don't have to say that maybe the Mishnah is talking about where the pierce occurs before Shabbos. Let's say that it definitely occurred before Shabbos. And he says, I'm going to show you why. In other words, how is it that I know that we are discussing that the Mishnah has to necessarily be talking about a case where the Pirtza occurs before Shabbos and the Pirtza does not occur on Shabbos itself? Based on the following questions were asked the following questions were asked from Rav Huna, from Rav Yehuda. And that is, let's say that we made an Erev, Derech HaPesach. There was an opening, a doorway between two Erevin, allowing us to make a joint Erev, and we did make a joint Erev. The Pesach was closed up. Or, Derech HaLom, V'Nistam HaChalom, we did it through a window. Again, the beginning of the seventh parak of our Masechta tells us that a window of a certain opening size and a certain height off the ground. So that could also service as a access point between two chatzeros. And what happens is on Shabbos, so it gets blocked up, it gets stopped up. So what now becomes? V'amr li Shabbos kevin shehutra hutra. And so he says to me as follows, is that once we start the Shabbos in a certain way, kevin shehutra hutra, so that is going to be its status and its continued status throughout the duration of Shabbos. Since we had an Erev going into Shabbos, even though now there is no longer allowance to make an Erev, well, 2 points. One is obviously you can't make an Erev on Shabbos itself. That's something that we've established already numerous times. But the what allowed us to make the Erev, i.e. the Pesach or the Chalon, between the two Chatzeros, is no longer there. So nevertheless, because going into Shabbos, we had perfect allowance to make an Erev. So once we had an allowance to make an Erev, and we did make an Erev going into Shabbos, so then the status of the Erev continues for the duration of Shabbos. Good. So so what we see over there clearly is the is this issue as to whether or not you have a status of acceptability going into Shabbos, and whether or not we can maintain that status even though the reason for that acceptability no longer exists. So we see clearly over here that the Amoraim are arguing, yes, that once the Heter starts, the Heter continues. So the and the Gemara says, and so here we are now discussing this very topic of a wall where the wall comes down on Shabbos, and it was the wall that was separating two chatzeros, and under these circumstances, and there was no Pesach, and under these circumstances, going into Shabbos, so they were not allowed to make a joint Erev. They didn't make a joint Erev because they weren't allowed to make a joint Erev. And now, the wall falls on Shabbos, now they are open to one another, totally open to one another. So can I carry within each of the chatzeros? Rav Amrei, Metaltan Ba'olam B'dal Amos. So Rav says, no, you can't carry. You cannot carry within the only four amos, meaning it's going to have the status of a karmelis. Ushmol Amar, Zematatal Adikar Mechitza, Vizematatal Adikar Mechitza. Now Shmuel says, no, you can carry up to where the Mechitza once was. Meaning wherever you could have carried going into Shabbos, that's where you can continue carrying through Shabbos, even though the wall is no longer there. Okay, a couple points over here, both on the Shita of Rav and on the Shita of Shmuel. Let's start with the Shita of Rav. On the Shita of Rav, so our chatzer now has the status of a karmelis. You cannot carry in this chatzer. We did not make an error between the two chatzeros because there was a wall there before Shabbos. The wall comes down, and so now we have these two chatzeros that are open up one to another, and so it now has the status of a karmelis. Rashi over here writes, Rashi in the bottom of Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, so Rav leis lehol v'hutra hutra. So first of all, obviously, Rav does not subscribe to this principle that we just laid out previously in the Gemara, meaning that the status going into Shabbos is going to maintain over the remainder of Shabbos, even though something has changed. So Rav does not agree with that, clearly. Now Rashi over here explains that here's how we're not going to view it. We're not going to view it as one large chatzer. Because going into Shabbos, it wasn't one large chatzer, it was two separate chatzeros. So when the wall falls down, we're not going to view it as one large chatzer. Had it been one large chatzer, obviously, you can carry within the chatzer itself. But because there were two chatzeros, and now they're open up to one another, so therefore that creates iser. Now, Rashi over here writes, where there's still another consideration. So Rashi over here says, but wait, let's remember. What did we learn in the beginning of the ninth parak? We spent 3 days discussing, 3.5 days discussing the first sugya of our perek, and that is the idea that chatzeros are rishos achas. So that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. It's not only the shita of Rabbi Shimon, but we do paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and that is chatzeros are rishos achas. So I'm allowed to carry from one chatzer to another chatzer. Isn't that true? So over here, if the wall fell down, so what? Aren't I allowed to carry from one chatzer into another chatzer based on the fact that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? So Rashi over here is bothered by that, but Rashi responds, "Hacha b'she'ir v'kol achas la'atzma askinan." So Rashi writes that in this particular case over here, each of the chatzeros already made an independent eruv, and we learn together that when you have a chatzer that is mu'urav, shitas rav, Shmuel disagrees, but shitas rav is that you're not allowed to carry from one chatzer into another. Why? Gzera, because of Mane Debatim, because of the Kelim of the house. Meaning, once our Chatzer made an Eruv, so now the problem is going to be is that now you're not allowed to carry from the house into the Chatzer. Sorry. Let's do that again. Let's do it correctly. Because I made an Eruv, you are allowed to carry from the house into the Chatzer. And then the concern is that you're going to take that Kli, and then you're going to transfer it from one Chatzer to another Chatzer, which even Rabbi Shimon does not allow. Rabbi Shimon only allows the transfer of items from chatzer to chatzer only when they started off on Shabbos in the chatzer itself. Good. So over here in our particular scenario, when the wall falls down between the two chatzeros, and Rav says that the whole area now has a karmelit status, and you can't carry it from one chatzer to another, so Rashi wonders, well, why not? Don't we pass like Rabbi Shimon? And so Rashi's response is, this is Rav Lishita say. Rav being consistent with his general position, that over here, because this chatzer are mu'uravim, and because of the gzera of mani debatim, so that's why you can't carry it from one chatzer to another chatzer. Rashi concludes, Rav Litameh, so once an Erev is made, so now it's going to be considered, viewed as Shtei Rishuyos. Very good. So that is all a much better understanding of Shitas Rav. And now we turn to Shita Shmuel. Shita Shmuel is that when the wall breaks between the two chatzeres, so you're allowed to carry. Rashi on the top of Sadidal Madalf writes, Zemetalta Ad Mekom Mechitza. They can carry up to the Mekom Mechitza, but no more. So Shmuel obviously does subscribe to the viewpoint of Kevin de Hutra Hutra. Whatever status it is that we started with Shabbos, any allowances that we're given in carrying going into Shabbos is the same status that's going to continue for the balance of the Shabbos. Good. Uvikli habayis kam Shmuel de'i b'sheshifta b'chatzar afilu mechatzar l'chatzar nami da'a Shmuel hu da'amar halachik Rabbi Shimon va'afilu irva kol achas la'atzma lo gaz mishamani debatim. And Rashi over here is very clear that when Shmuel gives the allowance to carry from one, not from one chatzer to another, but when Shmuel allows for each of the chatzers to continue carrying, even though the wall between the chatzers now has fallen down, so that's going to not only include kelim that were in the chatzer, but also kelim that start off in the house. Why? Because again, Rashi says, Shmuel Shita say. Shmuel's of the position that for the kelim that were in the chatzer, it's a no-brainer. Of course you're allowed to carry that within the chatzer. And not only that, you're even allowed to carry that from one chatzer to another. Because Shmuel does not have the gzera of mane debatim. So therefore, as far as Shmuel is concerned, so there's no restriction to carry within the chatzer itself, to carry from one chatzer to another chatzer. The only restriction going into Shabbos would have been to carry from home to chatzer and from chatzer to another chatzer because of the separating wall. So when the wall falls down on Shabbos, so there's no new allowance that's allowed for this Shabbos, but whatever allowances started off this Shabbos, that's going to continue for the balance of the Shabbos. Good. So we have now in front of us this machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. This machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, the same as we discussed just moments earlier, in terms of whether or not we have this argument of Kevin de Hutra Hutra. Shmuel is a proponent of Kevin de Hutra Hutra, and couple that with the shitas that we saw just previously in the Gemara. They asked from Rav Huna, they asked from Rav Yehuda, and they also subscribe to this idea of Kevin de Hutra Hutra, which parenthetically must mean that Rav Yehuda, who has the shita, Kevin de Hutra Hutra, he must have learned it from Shmuel. Remember, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud both of Rav and of Shmuel. And Rav and Shmuel disagree on this very issue of whether or not we say Kevin de Hutra Hutra. And so, right, that's the way Rashi is presenting it. And so, Rav Yehuda must have gotten it from his Rebbe Shmuel, not his Rebbe Rav. Okay. The Gemara tells a story. Veha, we are now on Sadidal Medala for two lines down. This shita of Rav, that where he does not subscribe to Kevin de Hutra Hutra, so that is going to be predicated not on a statement that was made by Rav, but rather on an incident, on an episode. The Rav Shmuel v'Yasve ba'u chatzer, Rav and Shmuel were both in the chatzer. Now for good of the Beni Beni, and the wall fell down between chatzeros. So Amar lehu Shmuel, so Shmuel says, okay, here's the solution. It's very simple. Shkulu glime nigidu ba. So take a coat and basically hang it up. Let's make a wall between the two chatzeros where there once was a wall. Come back and discuss that in more detail in just a moment. Adrin Rav Lapei, and Rav basically turns his face away. Rav is protesting, silent protest. So Amru Shmuel ikapid Abba. So Shmuel says, look, I see Rav is very upset about this. Shmuel, when he describes Rav, he calls him Abba. Could be that's his name, right? Number of Rashi's throughout Shas. Give somewhat different messages in terms of what exactly that term Abba is, a proper noun, or just a term of reverence and endearment. Whatever the case is, Shmuel says to Rav, I see Rav is really upset. So Shkula Heimenya, the Kachuba, let's take the belt and let's tie it up with the belt. Okay, it could be that Shmuel is just simply being slightly sarcastic. or whatever the case is. Shmuel's like, it's fine, right? Tie the coat up. Let's tie the belt up as well. Meaning Shmuel's perfectly fine with what's happening over here. Ula Shmuel amali ha amar zematalta adika mechitza zematalta adika mechitza. Now the Gemara's follow-up question over here, very straightforward, based on what we just learned. We learned that Shmuel subscribed to the position of Kevin Dehutra Hutra, that once you have a heter going into Shabbos, that heter is going to allow, even though the cause of the heter is no longer there. Over here, here's a classic scenario where I had a wall separating two chatzeros. The wall falls down on Shabbos itself. The question is very simple. For Shmuel, why do we even need to put any kind of partitioning between the two? Meaning, wouldn't it just be sufficient? It's fine. Just simply leaving it as it is, and each one can carry up into the Makom Mechitza. So the question is not on Shmuel's psak, it's just that why Shmuel needing to hang anything up over there? So Shmuel Avid Litzniusa Ba'ama. So the Gemara says is that what Shmuel did is that it was just modesty. It was privacy walls, meaning, you're right, halachically speaking, the walls didn't do anything, they didn't accomplish anything, they were just for purposes of privacy. V'ravi sfir lei da'asar lei malei. So now, as far as Rav is concerned, so he felt that there was an isser. Now, in a moment, we're going to explain what isser we're talking about over here, but Rav felt that there was an isser. So why is he silently protesting? Why doesn't he say to Shmuel? I don't think that's right. So Asri de Shmuel Havei. So the Gemara says, because this happens to be that this was a Makom of Shmuel. Shmuel was the Rav of Narda, so presumably we're in the town of Narda over here. So Rav didn't want to go against the Marda Asra. So Yachim Aitam Adrin Lapay, so okay, fine, but silent protest? Meaning, so if you want to show respect to the Marda Asra, so no silent protest. So the Gemara says, Dolo Nimr Kishmuel Svir, like, so the Gemara says, yeah, the silent protest over here is because he didn't want people to falsely, erroneously assume that he agrees with Shmuel. So basically, he turns his head away. He doesn't want to say anything because Shmuel's the Marad Asra. But at the same time, he doesn't want people to think that he actually agrees with this psak. So therefore, silent protest. He just simply turns away to show his displeasure. Good. Rav thinks that it was not right to hang the wall up. Why not? So Rashi over here writes, Adrin Rav Lapei de Kasavar Asra Letaltal Asadim Shebesocha. So the Rashi over here describes the potential problem for Rav, not the potential, but the actual problem for Rav is that you're carrying in a chatzir that you're not allowed to carry. In other words, go back to about 10 minutes ago, we saw Rav says ein metaltim ba'ala b'dal amos. When the wall falls down, you can only carry 4 amos in that area, meaning the area now has the status of being a karmelis. And so over here, the problem with the hanging of the walls is that you're carrying now in a karmelis, and you're not allowed to carry within a karmelis. Good. This Rashi is significant because we've said this already numerous times, but the more we review, right, the more we're going to just drill it into our head, and that is, what about the fact that you're making mechitzas on Shabbos? Isn't that a problem? Now, the Gemara ends up saying that these mechitzas weren't even halachic mechitzas, they were just nias mechitzas, but what about putting up mechitzas? Is that a problem on Shabbos? So Rashi throughout Shas, and here is just an example, Rashi throughout Shas that says that a CSO Olarai, that the making of Olarai is only on the roof. Rashi writes a number of places that there is no problem in terms of a CSOL with the vertical walls. Walls is not OL. OL is the roof that goes overhead. Obviously, for a roof you need walls, but walls are just a hechitimsa that just gets you to the roof. But in terms of the legal status of an OL, that's only on the roof, not on the walls. So Rashi writes over here, for as far as Rav is concerned, the problem wasn't putting up the mechitzas. That in of itself would have been fine. The problem over here is that you have to carry it through the karmelis, or through the chatzer, which is a karmelis, in order to get there. That's the problem according to Rashi. Good. So this Rashi over here is consistent with Rashi Shita throughout Shas. And this is this observation over here, I know I made it, but Tosis made it earlier in the Masechta, somewhere in the Mems. Okay, anyway. We continue in the Gemara. We are in the Mishnah Tzadidah Lamed Aleph after having now covered the principal sugya of Kevin Dehutra Hutra regarding Shabbos. We are on the Mishnah starting the next topic here in the ninth parak. But this, by the way, is the last full daf of the ninth parak of Erevin. Tomorrow, Amud Aleph, we finish Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to finish the parak and start the 10th and final parak of the Masechta. Mishnah starts off Chatzer Shenifras Ol Rishus HaRabim. So you have the Chatzer where it breaches to a Rishus HaRabim. And so now basically the question over here, the issue becomes as follows. Now, I'm going to first read the Mishnah really simply, in terms of just the simplest way to understand the Mishnah. And then when we get to the Gemara, we're going to have a much more nuanced understanding of the Mishnah. Basically, we're talking over here about annexation, meaning to say that as follows. A chatzer, surrounded by four walls, obviously is a Rishus HaYachid. If it abuts a Rishus HaRabim, fine. Okay, and even if they're Psachim, even if there are doorways that take you out into the Rishus HaRabim, but the domains are clearly defined. The chatzer is a Rishus HaYachid, and the street that it abuts is going to be Rishus HaRabim. And of course, on Shabbos, one cannot transfer from the chatzer into the Rishus HaRabim. But over here now, the issue becomes the following. Let's say the fourth wall separating our chatzer from the Rishus HaRabim, so let's say it falls down on Shabbos, right? A significant amount, meaning more than 10 amos. So no longer can be viewed as the Pesach. What now becomes of the chatzer? Does the status of the chatzer change? That's going to be our Mishnah. Chatzer shenifras al Rishus HaRabim, hamachtins mitocha al Rishus HaYachid. Omri Rishus HaYachid latocha chayev. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. So, if I have the chatzer now fully breached into the Rishus HaRabim, so now the chatzer itself is going to take on the status of a Rishus HaRabim. So the Rishus HaRabim now status is going to encroach into the chatzer and convert the chatzer into a Rishus HaRabim. The simple reading of the Mishnah is that we're talking about the entire chatzer. That's a simple reading of the Mishnah. And therefore, if I were to transfer from the chatzer, from this chatzer now to Rishus HaYachid, or from Rishus HaYachid to it, so according to Shitas Rebbe Eliezer, one would be chayev. So that means to say that the status of this chatzer is totally converted into a Rishus HaRabim. The Chacham Amar, mitocha l'Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim l'tocha pater. And the Chachamim say, no, if I were to carry from it to Rishus HaRabim, or from Rishus HaRabim to it, it would be Pater Memeshu Kakarmelis. So according to the Chachamim, it does not become a Rishus HaRabim, but rather it is just a Karmelis, meaning it's still surrounded by three walls. Min HaTorah, it is considered Rishus HaYachid, but because it's Nifritza, it is totally open into Rishus HaRabim, so it doesn't maintain the status of Rishus HaYachid, even though Min HaTorah, it is a Rishus HaYachid, but now it gets a Karmelis status because it's totally opened up into a Rishus HaRabim. The Mishnah's example, admittedly, according to the Chachamim, is a little bit strange. If I were to transfer from it to a Rishus HaRabim, why wouldn't the Chachamim highlight, what if I transfer from it to a Rishus HaYachid? Right, it doesn't change the point. According to the Chachamim, it does not lose its status of being a Rishus HaYachid min HaTorah, because it is surrounded by three walls, but rather because it's totally opened up into a Rishus HaRabim, so therefore it's given Karmelis status. Good. So what we have over here as a simple reading of the Mishnah is a fascinating viewpoint of Rebbe Eliezer. We don't paskin like Rebbe Eliezer, but just conceptually, analytically, it is unbelievable where you're basically going to take a Rishus HaYachid area, but because now it abuts the Rishus HaRabim, and because now there's no wall separating the Rishus HaYachid and the Rishus HaRabim, so the Rishus HaRabim area now is going to go in, invade this chatzer, and totally take over and assume the chatzer will assume the status of the Rishus HaRabim that is right next to it. That is amazing, and it's so amazing that the Gemara is really going to struggle with the simple reading of the Mishnah. The Gemara just can't get over it. Like, how? Just because it's next to a Rishus HaRabim, now this chatzer, surrounded by three walls, even according to Rebbe Eliezer, is now going to take on and assume the role of being a Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara says, in. So the Gemara says, yeah. Yeah. Now, in order to appreciate and understand this, so the Gemara says, it's not really, we're not talking about the entire chatzer, but what we're going to do is we're going to align this with another sheet of Rebbe Eliezer, Detanya. We're going to here learn Baba Basra together. Rebbe Yehuda, Omer Mishum, Rebbe Eliezer, Rabim, Shibiru, Derech Latzmo, Mashibiru, Biruru. So let's say you have a Rishus HaRabim, and they choose a path for themselves. What path they choose is going to belong to them. Okay, so we're talking about now obtaining the status of a Rishus HaRabim, right? How does a street become a street? So the simple reading of this Braisa in Baba Basra is basically whatever the Rishus HaRabim selects for themselves. Rashi over here gives a little more nuance to this case over here, right? Rashi writes, Shemasha Biru Biru, the first Rashi in the Gemara. Shibiru derech latzman b'sad b'steachas. Okay, in other words, We're talking about a field, and the public traffic now goes through a section of the field, and now that becomes an easement. It becomes now a public road. So over here, what the Gemara now is projecting or assuming is that the same thing is true regarding our chatzar. Our chatzar that abutting Rishos Rabim, now open to Rishos Rabim. So once the Rishos Rabim traffic goes through it, so now Rabbi Eliezer being consistent with what he taught us back in Baba Basra, and that is that the chatzar now is going to obtain the status of Rishos Rabim. Continuing in the Gemara, Ini, the Gemara says, wait 1 second, are you right? So the Gemara says, no, let's give a little more context to that case over there. Just because the public now decides that they're going to walk through somebody's field is going to give them the status of being a Rishos Rabim, can't be. It's talking about the following scenario. There was already an easement going through somebody's property. We forgot exactly where the easement was, but there already was. So when the public goes ahead and reclaims that easement, so then it's going to be given to the public. So and the Gemara says, okay, and so let's assume over here in our case as well, maybe we're talking about the same thing, meaning our chatzer that is abutting Rishos Rabim, where the wall comes down. So maybe there was an easement over there, just kind of. It kind of fell into disuse, and now the public went ahead and reused it again and laid claim to now a new easement, and maybe that's what Rabbi Eliezer is describing in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Vam Rabbi Chanina ad makom mechitza machlokis. So meanwhile, Rabbi Chanina says that the machlokis is going up to the wall, meaning, and this coordinates with our simple reading of the Mishnah. When the wall of the chatzar comes down, and now when the public are walking through this chatzer, so according to Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, so the status of the entire chatzer, up to and including the interior wall of the chatzer, is now going to take on the status of being a Rishos Rabim. That is a simple reading, and that's not coordinating with what we're describing right now. We're describing a lost easement that's being reclaimed by the public. That's not what it sounds like, what we're describing. So the Gemara says, Ema, Al makom mechitza machlokas. So the Gemara says, okay, a clarification. It's not ad makom mechitza, but rather al makom mechitza, meaning it's over the area of that lost wall, meaning that there was some sort of easement in this property. The wall fell down. We're not sure where it is. If the public now reestablishes a new pathway in this chatzer, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's now public property. And therefore, not only is it public property from a simple zoning standpoint, but from a Hashabbos halachic standpoint, it is now a part of the Rishos Rabim, and therefore it obtains the status of Rishos Rabim. Ibai Seima, okay, good. So that is all one shot in our Mishnah. So, as to establish now what we are describing in our Mishnah, where the wall falls down, and of a chatzer, that's abutting of Rishos Rabim, and the Mishnah says that the chatzer now takes on the status of the Rishos Rabim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim disagree. So just trying to gain some understanding of Shita's Rabbi Eliezer, so what the Gemara now is projecting or suggesting as one pshat in the Mishnah is that there was a lost easement somewhere around these parts, around the chatzer, and the public now is just simply reestablishing their pathway. But in other words, but it's not the whole chatzer that takes on the status of the Rishos Rabim. We're just talking about a pathway that was reestablished by the public traffic. That is one way to understand our Mishnah. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what. We're not talking about the status of the chatzer, but rather what we're talking about is Sidi Rishos Rabim. Okay, in our modern cities, so perhaps a sidewalk over here would be a good way to try to describe this, but basically, Sidi Rishos Rabim is, it's part of the street, but obviously it's the side that serves as a border between the street and the houses and the walls on the side. And there is basically some sort of buffering, some sort of barriers that create some separation between the street and the wall. So in other words, the Rishos Rabim is not going flush against the walls, but there's some sort of barriers. Okay, sidewalks might be a good way to describe it. Okay, and whatever. Anyway, Tzidah Rishos Rabim, which comes up a number of times throughout Shas, and here is one of the principal places where Tzidah Rishos Rabim is being discussed. The Gemara is suggesting now that really is the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer suffered said Rishos Rabbim, Kirishos Rabbim Dami, and it happens to be that this coordinates with what we know. We know that Rabbi Eliezer is of the position that said Rishos Rabbim is like Rishos Rabbim. V'Rabban suffered said Rishos Rabbim, Lav Kirishos Rabbim Dami. And the Chachamim say no, that Tzidur Rishos Rabbim does not have the status of Rishos Rabbim. V'Liflug B'Tzidur Rishos Rabbim Ba'alma. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? Great. So now what we're saying is Pshat in our Mishnah is that what they're really, arguing about is that when the wall comes down of the Chatzer, so now not the interior of the Chatzer, that's not open for discussion, but we're just simply talking about the edges of the road, the Tzidur Rishos HaRabim, whether or not they have the status of Rishos HaRabim. So the Gemara says, if that's true, if that's what they're arguing about, so why aren't they just flat out arguing about Tzidur Rishos HaRabim? Meaning the way the Mishnah presents it, we're talking now about the wall coming down and now you have a little extra room for the people to walk. Why are they talking about such a nuanced case? Why aren't they just talking about Tzidur Rishos HaRabim? So the Gemara says, if the Gubit Tzidur Rishos HaRabim ba'ama, havra amina ki pligi rabban ala de Rabbi Eliezer, hani mila hecha de ika chifufe, aval hecha de leka chifufa, ema mo delay. So the Gemara says, if we were just talking about regular Tzidur Rishos HaRabim, here's what I would have suggested. That Tzidur Rishos HaRabim in general has got some sort of barriers, some sort of buffers, right, bumpers, if you will, that separate the main road from the walls on the side, meaning the walls that make up the chatzeros and the houses on the side. And there's some sort of bumpers over there, what the Gemara over here describes as chifufi. Under those circumstances, I would say that the Chachamim say that Tzidur Rishos HaRabim does not have the status of Rishos HaRabim. But over here, when we're talking about where the wall comes down, and there really is no bumper, no barriers whatsoever. And so over here now, we're talking about the side of the road, the sidewalk, if you will, right? Just using the word as literally as possible. So the sidewalk with no bumpers and there's no barriers and there's no interference and traffic in theory could just simply smoothly now go to the side. I might have thought that there the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Eliezer. That status of Tzidur Rishos HaRabim has the status of Tzidur Rishos HaRabim. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, good. So that's now the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That even though the wall comes down and there's no barriers and there's really nothing that impedes the progress of the public that goes through now the side of the street, nevertheless, the Chachamim maintain that still has the status of Tzidur Rishos HaRabim, and the Chachamim say Tzidur Rishos HaRabim does not have the status of Rishos HaRabim. Good, all this is wonderful, the Gemara says, yeah, but does all this read in our Mishnah? Meaning, let's go back to our Mishnah, because obviously, everything starts with the Mishnah. V'ami tocha ka'amar. Now, the Mishnah says, mi tocha, from it. Now, up until now, both pshatim, meaning the first and second pshat that we just offered in the Gemara, that we're just talking about the side of the road, right, the edge of the chatzer where the public now has chosen a new easement. But we're not talking about the chatzer in of itself. It doesn't read in the Mishnah. V'ham mitocha kamar. So the Gemara says, I did amar rabban mitocha, amar iunami mitocha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it could very well be that Rabbi Eliezer is using the word mitocha only to follow after the Chachamim. The Chachamim use the word mitocha, so Rabbi Eliezer uses the same language. V'rabban amar, Rabbi Eliezer tzidur rishos harabim mahadru le'inu mitocha. So the Gemara says, well, that's really strange. So the whole debate over here, according to our second pshat, is that we're talking about Tzidur Rishos HaRabim. So why are the Chachamim even using the word mitocha? That's strange. So mitocha would indicate that we're talking about from in it, meaning from in the chatzer, which we're not talking about from the chatzer. So hachi kamalei rabban le Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, okay, this is how the dialogue is to be understood. And that is, Milo kamodis lan hecha de tilta mitocha le Rishos HaRabim. Om Rishos HaRabim le tocha de patam in meshu karmelis. So it's a Chachamim basically arguing with Rabbi Eliezer and making the following point. Look, Rabbi Eliezer, you agree with us that if you were to take an object and move it from the chatzer, meaning not the side of the road, but if you were to take an object from the chatzer, it's totally opened into the Rishos HaRabim, and then you were transferred from the chatzer to a Rishos HaRabim, right? That you would be patur, meaning you agree that that area is a karmel status and not Rishos HaRabim. So tzidur nami lo shna. So the Chachamim say to Rabbi Eliezer, so same thing over here. The side of the road is the same, meaning it's a karmelis, it's not a Rishos HaRabim. So Rabbi Elazar, Asam lo kadarsi le-rabbim, machi kadarsi le-rabbim. And Rabbi Elazar's counter-response to the Chachamim is, how could you compare the two? I'm talking about Sidur Rishos HaRabbim, that's where the public travels. And granted that generally speaking, people travel on the road, but then when the volume of traffic is high, so people move to the side, to the Sidur Rishos HaRabbim. And therefore, it has the status of Rishos HaRabbim. But over here, you're talking about the Chatzar, you can't compare a Chatzar to Sidur Rishos HaRabbim. I agree with you, the Chatzar itself has the status of a Carmelis. But over here, it's Sidur Rishos HaRabbim, since Rabbim Darsei Basim, since people walk on it, so therefore it has the status of Rishos HaRabbim itself. Okay, so our Mishnah tells us that when I have a chatzar that abuts the Rishos HaRabim, and the wall breaks down between the chatzar and the Rishos HaRabim, so are we talking now about the status of the Rishos HaRabim basically coming in, invading the chatzar, taking over the chatzar? So the simple reading of the Mishnah is that that's a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. But basically, what the Gemara did is, no, that's not the simple reading is not correct. No one's going to argue whether or not the chatzar itself maintains the Rishos HaYachin min HaTorah. And parenthetically, by the way, even though it maintains the status of Rishos HaYachin min HaTorah, but since it's opened up into Rishos HaRabim, it's now going to have Carmelist status. But no one's ready to argue with that. And even Rabbi Eliezer agrees with that. What is up for debate in the Mishnah is, now we have two pshatim to work with in the Gemara. Either we're talking about where there was some sort of pathway where the public lost, and now with the wall coming down, so the public now has chosen for themselves a new easement that somewhat encroaches into this area. So that easement is going to have the status of Rishos HaRabim according to Rabbi Elazar. The Chachamim disagree. That's one way to describe it. Or what they're arguing about at Sidur Rishos HaRabim, now that the wall comes down and the public now helps himself to that newly exposed area as public pathway, does that have the status of Sidur Rishos HaRabim? Rabbi Eliezer says yes, the Chachamim say no. Consistent with what we already know as to the Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, as to whether or not Sidur Rishos HaRabim has the status of Rishos HaRabim. Good. So that is the understanding of the Gemara. In both of those Pshatim, we're not debating about the entirety of the Chatzar. Okay. Chatzar Shenifras Ola Rishos HaRabim. We are in Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph. We are now on the bottom Mishnah, and continuing our discussion regarding walls that come down on Shabbos. The Chatzar Shenifras Ola Rishos HaRabim Mishtei Ruchosah. So we have now Chatzar. It's breached into a Rishos HaRabim on both of its sides. Both of its sides. We're going to give a better definition of what that means as we start with the Gemara. V'chein bayis shenifras mishtei ruchosah. Or let's say we have a house which is breached on two sides. V'chein mavui. Or let's say I have a mavui where either the kor or the lechi has been taken down, so it would be permitted for the balance of the Shabbos, but prohibited for all future Shabbosim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. This may not have anything to do with what we discussed earlier this morning. Earlier this morning, we went through the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel of Kevin de Hutra Hutra, and over here, this may not at all be impacted, because over here, previously we were talking about Kevin de Hutra Hutra in terms of the status of an Eruv, meaning an Eruv was made, an Eruv was not made. It's true that we were discussing where walls come down, but walls are coming down between two chatzeros, and so what you have now is you still have a Rishus HaYachid structure, Rishos HaYachid status. It just happens to be now that residents now are exposed to one another or closed off from one another going into, right, on the Shabbos itself. So there we have a discussion of Kevin de Hotra Hotra. But over here, we're now where the physical walls come down, so you don't even have the physical structure. So this may not be relevant to the discussion of Kevin de Hotra Hotra. Okay, anyway, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so if the walls come down on Shabbos for that Shabbos, it would be mutter, but for subsequent Shabboses, it would be aser. To which Rabbi Yossi says, what? Rabbi Yossi Omer, im mutarm la'aser Shabbos, mutarm la'aser lavo. V'im asurm la'aser lavo, asurm la'aser Shabbos. And so Rabbi Yossi says, I don't understand. We have to be consistent. If it's mutter for the Shabbos, it'll be mutter for future Shabbosim. And if it's aser for future Shabbosim, it should be aser for the Shabbos as well. And so therefore, let's assume that it's aser for future Shabbosim, so therefore it's aser for the Shabbos as well. We can't separate this Shabbos from future Shabbosim. So fine. So b'mayiskin, and so the Gemara says good. Now a little more clarity in terms of the pirtza. What are we describing in the Mishnah when we're talking about a pirtza? So b'mayiskin and ilim b'eser. If we're talking about where the pirtza is 10 amos or anything less than 10 amos, so ma'ishnami ruchachas damar pischahu mishtei ruchosan nami pischahu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Any pirtza that's less than 10 amos is a Pesach. All right, we talked about that since the beginning of the Masechta, and now, 3 months in, right, we're not changing our tune. So anything less than 10 amos is a Pesach, not a pirtza. And so a Pesach, what's the difference between one Pesach or two Pesachim? So good. So now there's a opening on one side, opening on the other side, but each one of them is less than 10 amos. Good. So now you have two Pesachim, and that's fine. So the So it must be that the breach is more than 10 amos. So the Gemara says, good. But if the breach is more than 10 amos, so then why does the Mishnah give us a scenario where it's breached on two sides? I don't understand. Even if it's breached on one side, so that should be sufficient in order to take away status of being a Rishos Yachin. So Amar Rav Olam Be'Esser, so Rav says, no, we're talking about where the breach was 10 amos, meaning 10 amos or less than 10 amos. As we now turn to the top of the Amud Bey, Zukagon, Shinifrit Sabakaran Zavis, and we're talking about where a breach occurred in the corner. In the corner, so what? The Pischa Bekaran Zavis, Law of the Inshi. So perhaps you remember, we did this a long time ago in the Masechta. This takes us all the way back to Dav Vav. Pesach is not made in the corner. Generally speaking, the principle is that a Pesach exists within the side of a wall, but not in the corner. And so therefore, any opening that would occur in the corner cannot be viewed as a Pesach. By definition, it's going to be a Pirtza, even if it's less than 10 Amos. So v'chein b'ashen if it's m'shtei ruchosad, the Gemara says, fine. Now what about a house that's open up on two sides, that breaches on two sides? So ma'ishnam ruchachas namin p'tikra yor v'sosem. So m'shtei ruchosnam ilema p'tikra yor v'sosem. So the Gemara says, okay, over here, I'm totally confused. Meaning, with a house, obviously you have a roof. With a roof, you have the principle of p'tikra yor v'sosem. The edge of the roof comes down. We've already discussed this a number of times. We just discussed this a couple days ago in the daf. When it comes to the half-roofed house, where the roof stops right in the center, and so p'tikra yor v'sosem, the edge of the roof now comes down, and if you remember, we can plant a kerem on one side and zeraim on the other side, because now it's considered halachically a wall. It's a partition. So over here as well. When I have a house, so let's say one side is breached, two sides are breached, who cares? It has a roof, and the roof now should create p'tikra yor v'sosem. And so this idea should apply to one side, two sides. So the Gemara says that we're talking about where the breach was in the corner, like we described previously. And the roof comes at a slant. Now our roofs all are at a slant, right? Right buildings, apartment buildings, right larger buildings. No, but fine. So our roofs are at a slant. We do not say p'tikra yor v'sosem for a slanted roof. We only say p'tikra yor v'sosem if we're talking about a flat roof, and now it is a perpendicular, and 90 degrees going down, flushing down. Then we say p'tikra yor v'sosem, but not on a slanted roof. So the Gemara says that's what we're describing over there. It is in the corner, so now it's hitting two sides, and it's a slanted roof. So we don't say p'tikra yor v'sosem. That is Rav's explanation of our Mishnah. Ushmul Amar Afilu B'Yasameyaser. So the Gemara says, Shmuel says, not necessarily. Could be that the breach under discussion is more than 10 Amos. More than 10 Amos, how does that work? So the Gemara says, Yihachim Ruch Achas Nami. So the Gemara says, well, if it's more than 10 Amos, so then even if it's on one side, so why should that be an issue? So the Gemara says, Mishum Bayis. So the Gemara says, no, because we're talking about a house. Since it's a house, so it has to be breached on two sides. The Gemara says, "Ubayskuf etikshe." What do you mean? I don't understand. In the case of the house, so if the breach is on one side of the house, so we're going to say that's p'tikra yor v'sosem. So mishe ruchos nami, name a p'tikra yor v'sosem. So why don't we say the same thing if two of the walls breach? So the Gemara says, umi isle l'shmol p'tikra yor v'sosem. So the Gemara says, and also, wait one second, we're talking about Shita Shmuel over here. Doesn't Shmuel reject the concept of pitikar yovisotzim? Va'itmar achsadra bebikar rabba marmutal talta b'kulo Shmuel amar imetaltam ba'ala barba amos. So the Gemara says, and remember the case of the pavilion where I have a flat roof on four poles. And Rav says, good, you have a rishus yachid. Why? Because the edges come down on all four sides. And Shita Shmuel is that, no, it's not a rishus yachid. Because we don't say that the walls come down on all four sides. Meaning, Rav subscribes to Pitikar Yovisosim, and Shmuel doesn't subscribe to Pitikar Yovisosim. So what are we even discussing over here? When we're talking about the house breached on one side, two sides, what's the discussion? So the Gemara's response is, Halokashi ki leifle ba'arba, ava b'shlosha ifle. So the Gemara says, no. Shmuel's rejection of Pitikar Yovisosim is not a fundamental rejection. He doesn't reject the concept outright. What he's simply saying is that I won't allow Pitikar Yod Vesosim to close all four sides. If we're talking about closing three sides, that's fine. But it won't close all four sides. Rav goes so far as to say that Pitikar Yod Vesosim is going to close all four sides. For my Achsadra, where I have now Pitikar Yod Vesosim coming down on all four sides, perfect. Lefi Shitas Rav. Shmuel, however, will not so go so far as to say all four sides. Fine. So but meanwhile, it comes out now that Shmuel does subscribe to the idea of Pitikar Yod Vesosim just on a more limited basis than that of Rav. So Mikom Mekom Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, so now let's go back to our house. So our house now has got a breach in it. Shmuel says that the breach that we're discussing is even more than, the breach is greater than 10 amos. So the Gemara says, fine, one side, two sides. We just established that according to Shmuel, he does accept a limited version of Pitikar Yod Vesosim. But over here, let's apply the limited version of Pitikar Yod Vesosim. So the Gemara says, Kidamri Beirav Mishmei Derav Kigon Shenifras Bekeren Zavis Ukiriyah Belachson Hachanami Kigon Shenifras Bekeren Zavis Ukiriyah Be'arba'a. So the Gemara says, okay, and so over here, we're going to go back to Rav's response, which is that the breach occurred in the corner, and on top of that, it's a slanted roof. So here too, according to Shmuel, we're talking about where the breach was in the corner. And it was breached at four tfachim. So the and so over here we do not get to say Pitikar Yod Vesosim. Okay, the in terms of not being able to say Pitikar Yod Vesosim, so the case over here is a little bit tricky. You can see Rashi right over here, and if you have a picture book to look at, that's very helpful. But you can see the Rashi over here in terms of why it is that the breach has to necessarily go in for Tfachim, and we're going to be inhibited, restricted from using the rule of Pitikar Yod Vesosim. What I'm going to do now is I'll stop here. Tomorrow I'll explain the Rashi, I'll explain the picture a little bit better in terms of what exactly is going to be the issue of not saying Pitikar Yod Vesosim under these circumstances. Okay, we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up tomorrow. In the meantime, let's quickly review our daf. Our daf started off with a really interesting discussion of Kevin Dehotra Hotra. Well, that means to say that going into Shabbos, so all the Erevim were set up, and then between Chatzeros the wall comes down, and now exposing residences one Chatzer to the other Chatzer. So going into Shabbos, everything was set up, all the Erevim were set up, and now on Shabbos, now where new residences are introduced, so are we going to say Pitikra Yorvis, I'm sorry, Pitikra. Are we going to say Kevin Dehotra Hotra? Right, mixing up my concepts today. So are we going to say Kevin Dehotra Hotra? So what comes out in the beginning of today's daf is that Rav Yehuda weighs in on the topic, Rav Huna weighs in on the topic, Rav and Shmuel argue about this topic, Rav subscribes to the idea that we do not say Kevin Dehotra Hotra, Shmuel's of the opinion that we do say Kevin Dehotra Hotra, good. So this is a major debate amongst the Amoraim as to whether or not a status that starts off on Shabbos can maintain going into the remainder of Shabbos. That was our first sugya of the day. And then that sugya ended off with an episode with Rabbi Shmuel where a wall between two chaseros came down and Shmuel says, good, so put up some curtains over there. And Rab protested, silently protested. And Shmuel, as far as Shmuel was concerned, you didn't even need the curtains over there. Meaning Kevin Dehotra Hotra tells us that everybody can carry where they could have carried at the onset of Shabbos, and that can continue through the remainder of Shabbos. And Rav doesn't agree, but at the same time, Shmuel was a Marad Asra. Rav didn't want to publicly argue with the Marad Asra. Good. That was the first sugya of today. And we went through exactly the curtains, what exactly Rav had the problems with the curtains. We went through Rashi, Shitas Rashi, in terms of Ol Arai, only going on the roof, not on the walls. Good. That was all our first sugya of the day. Second sugya of the day is where I have a chatzar that abuts a Rishus Rabim, and the wall of the chatzar breaks on Shabbos. And now, the status of the Rishus Rabim encroaching into the chatzar. Simple reading of the Mishnah that Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is that it totally encroaches into the entirety of the chatzar. Meanwhile, the Chachamim say, no, it does not totally encroach into the chatzar. It doesn't come into the chatzar at all. The chatzar remains min haTorah Rishus HaYachid. Okay, but because it's totally opened up into a Rishus HaRabim, the chatzar now will have a karmala status, but it does not become a Rishus HaRabim. So this machlok is between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, where according to Rabbi Eliezer, seemingly the entire chatzar now becomes a Rishus HaRabim. That is remarkable. It's so remarkable, the Gemara says, can't be. And so what the Gemara does, gives two approaches in terms of how to understand Rabbi Eliezer, but in both approaches, what the Gemara does is significantly limit the extent of encroachment that the Rishus HaRabim is going to encroach into the Chatzer. Good. And perhaps the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim is a function of Seder Rishus HaRabim. As per the general machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim regarding Seder Rishus HaRabim, that was our second sugya. And our third sugya of the day is basically where I have a chatzar or a house where nifritza mishtei ruchoseha, where two of the walls are breached. Two of the walls are breached, and so now our chatzar no longer is a chatzar, and the house is no longer a house. And the Gemara says, what kind of breach are we talking about? Anything less than 10 amos, that's a Pesach. Pesach on one side, Pesach on two sides. So I don't understand. So the Gemara's response is, Rav's response is that we're talking about where the breach is less than 10 amos, but it's in a corner. And in a corner, so there are people do not make a Pesach in the corner. You cannot call it a Pesach in the corner. That's the case of the Chatzar. What about the case of the house? That's the Amud Beis. Sadi Dala Amud Beis talks about the breach of the house. So the breach of the house, which the Mishnah says that if it breaches on two sides, it's no good. But with the house, we have a roof. And don't we say the principle of Pitikariyot Vesosim? So Rav's response is, yes, same. In other words, the breach occurred in the corner. And in terms of Pitikariyot Vesosim, the roof is a slanted roof where we don't say Pitikariyot Vesosim. That is Rav's understanding. And right now where we leave ourselves off is with Shmuel's understanding. Shmuel says that the case under discussion over here is where the breach is 10 amos, and it occurred in the corner, and it's a slanted roof where we're not going to say Pitikariyot Vesosim, and he describes where the breach is within four tefachim of the side of the wall, and tomorrow we'll explain that a lot better in terms of why that necessarily has to be so.